That means we grow first as an infant. Then we grow up little by little. Until one day we are thinking that we can take care of ourselves. And then finally, when you're about 90, you come to a place where you realize you finally can take care of yourself. Because you all missed it. Just never mind. So it's growth. In this text, the Bible says first the blade. Little green blade pops up out of the ground. Then the ear. Then the full corn of ear. Growth is a process. At the end of that growth, the scripture says, when the fruit is brought forth, not necessarily comparing corn to fruit, meaning the fruit of your labor, immediately he putteth in the sickle. Why? Because the harvest has come. Now, there are many ways that you can look at this, and I want you to try and look at it in both ways. First, personal growth. Let me say that to you again. Whether you're 65, 95, 6, or 16, there must always be individual, personal growth. You cannot come to a place where you stop growing. Now, to help you just for a little bit, because older folks are the most stubborn in this area. You know you're growing because your understanding becomes more fruitful. You tell somebody at 6 and they look at you with cross eyes. You tell them at 16 and you get a dumb stare, but a nod at least. Then you tell them when they're about 26 and you're like, yeah, I see now, but there's still hesitation. And then when they become about 56, I know what you're talking about. So you see, our understanding becomes clearer as we grow. The reason you have, and I'm going to show you in the scripture, but the reason you have differences and divisiveness within churches is because you've got different churches, i.e. the people in those churches at different stages of growth. And you've got grown adults that don't realize they're spiritual infants, and therefore they think they've got all the answers and they no longer desire to grow or to get understanding. And as we grow in God, our understanding becomes clearer. What do you do in the meantime? What's your 6-year-old do? Got to rely on your parents. What's your 16-year-old do? Got to rely on your parents. Even though when you're 6, you're okay with it. When you're 16, you're not. Can I get an amen? It's worse when you're 26 because they know they don't have to listen to you, but they still need to. They still need to hear what you got to say sometimes. What is it? Is it 20? I think 26 is the age when your brain is fully developed finally. So that means when you've got all these... Well, I got to be nice today. All these poor kids out there shaking their thang all over social media thinking it's cool and it's fun, and they're just dumb. They don't have an understanding of life. They don't realize all you're doing is you're waving meat in front of the dogs. That's it. That's it. But as you grow, you understand more. How many of you ever heard somebody say, I wish I knew what I knew then that I know now? I wish I did. Hey, when you get older and your body starts to hurt and ache and the pains and all that come on, for a fleeting moment, you wish you were Brandon's age. But then you remember how dumb you were when you were Brandon's age. And you think, nah, I'll take the pain. That's okay. I'll take my years. No offense. I'll take my years of learning, because life is a better teacher than college. Life is a better teacher than any textbook, and I'm not against those things, but life just has a way of teaching. Now, we do have a problem in our world today. I As most of you, sometimes I like to just sit down and vegetate for a few minutes if I can. I was watching this video. I like to watch police videos. I like to watch how dumb people look. And this girl, she's about 23 or 4, and police are looking for her. They find her. She goes running across the field. They catch her, and you'd have to watch it. And I'm not being cruel. I'm being honest. For about 20 minutes, this girl squeals like a pig. I mean, she's screaming. She's spitting all over the police. They're putting spit hoods over her face. They had to put two because she was spitting through the spit hoods. They had to carry her out of the field because she's like a child. And they get her to the back of the cruiser, and she's screaming. She's kicking the doors the whole time. And then she gets the spit hood off because she gets her ankles out of there. They call it hog tie. And she got loose from there and used her feet to get her spit hood off. And she's still screaming and cursing profanities. And they put another one on her, and they get her into the jail. And she lays in there like a child in the back seat of the car. I'm not moving. I'm not moving. And they had to pick her up and care. And my first thought was, that's what happens. Hear me, parents. That's what happens whenever the child acts like a little brat. And you say, oh, okay, honey, it's okay. Mommy loves you. They never grow up. Now they have children. And now you have got generations of people that have never grown up. You got Brother Dan in his mid... How old are you, Brother Dan? 69. The man don't look it. You got Brother Dan at 69 years old, could outwork half the people in all three churches. Now hold on a second. Because he grew up learning responsibility. He was taught what it means to be responsible for yourself and your actions and how to work for what you want rather than throw a fit like a little child and march by the hundreds in the streets until you get your way. We live in a world that we have a pandemic of people that aren't growing up. But when we get in the church, we can't have that because it's God's will. The kingdom of God is compared to casting seed to the ground and that seed growing. It is the will of God that we grow up. It's the will of God that He trains us and rears us up, and that each year we have grown more from where we were last year. Each year our understanding becomes clearer. Each year we become more responsible as a child of God. Every year, we're doing more than what we've done before for the kingdom of God because we're growing up and we act more responsible too. The church is not to be acting like children, talking about people, saying things we shouldn't say, acting like a spoiled little brat when you don't get your way. Those things should not happen in the church. Because God wants us to grow. Why? Because He has a purpose for us. He has a plan. And it's not to be on spiritual welfare. It's for us to take responsibility as a young man or young woman of God, and for us to do what God has purposed for us and called us to do, to fulfill the will of God in our lives that He would be glorified. But it requires people that want to grow, people that are willing to grow, the people that will grow up. That parable continues in the next verse. It's a different parable, but it is a continuation of the lesson. And He said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Now we're going to liken the kingdom of God to something different. Or with what comparison shall we compare it? How can we compare the kingdom of God? If I want to explain to somebody, it's how He's saying it. Let me think, how can I compare? Okay, how about this? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, so now we're still talking about seed and we're still talking about planting. But now He's using a mustard seed for a reason. When it's sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth, but when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. So now He compares the kingdom of God to a grain of a mustard seed. Why? Because it's the least of all the seeds. As a child of God, we should always be the least of these. As a child of God, we should always have the attitude and the disposition of Paul. I am least amongst you. There's nothing wrong with that. But he said, when we walk in that humility after we've been planted, then when we grow up, we're greater than all the other seeds. Meaning there is nothing else that the world can plant that can compare to what Jesus plants and grows. There is no education, again, that can do for you what the Holy Ghost can do in your wisdom and your understanding. But the kingdom of God, in comparing you and I, he compares us now to a mustard seed. We're the least. But when we finally grow up, God can use us in a greater manner. But you got to grow up first. Cole will be 15 this December. At 15 and a half, he can start driving, and he will be my next chauffeur. He probably wants to drive now, but he can't drive now because he hasn't grown up to the point where he needs to drive. Now, when he turns 15 and a half, the other seeds of the world may say that he has grown to a place where he can drive. And as his father, I might say, And I'm not saying this, I'm using it as an example. Yes, you have reached the age where the law says you can drive, but I'm not comfortable with you driving. Because you haven't shown the maturity that you need in order to drive a car. Now, I'm not saying that's where he's at. But what I'm suggesting to you is, just because you reach an age, it doesn't make you grown up. All the young people should say, amen, Pastor. And the older ones as well. Because I have dealt with a lot of 40-year-old children in my time as being a pastor. And I probably acted like one a few times on my own. So, the first thing I want you to take away is I must continue to grow. Whoever I am today, or wherever I am, you cannot be content and think that you have reached the pinnacle of your life, because God is always doing something. A tree is always growing. If we look at the hidden things in the world are clearly seen through God's creation, or the invisible things, if we look at humanity, we never stop growing. And it's not God's will for us to ever stop growing as children of God. So, while you grow, I want you to remember this one thing that will help you in your growth if you open your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Verse, I know which verse I have, but I want to see if I want to read any more. We'll just leave it at verse 25. We'll start there. And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? Now I want to pause there for a minute, because I really want to set on this for a second. Number one, look at your neighbor and say, number one. Number one, don't try to rush your walk with God. Be content with where you are, even though you might want to be farther ahead. Sit down,
shut up,
and just grow. Your time will come. So, you don't have to pressure yourself. Somebody said to me a few weeks ago, and I don't remember who it was, they said, Pastor, I just feel like I should be farther than what I am. Why? Which of you, by taking one thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Why are you questioning the plan and the process of God? Why are you trying to rush your growth? You can't grow faster than the pot that the Lord has planted you in. Now, the church is a part of that process. And anybody will say, I just said it when I preached in Mansfield. The church can never outgrow the pastor. So the pastor has always got to be growing. Always The church will never grow. I'm just telling you, whether you want to be big dog, you can't outgrow the pot. It won't work. That's why you've got to be in a church that is growth-minded, not just number-minded. I've seen people got 10 kids in their house, they've lost complete control of it. You got to grow them. So, don't rush your growth. You'll be all right. Let growth happen naturally. Growth is a natural process. If we remember what we were like as children, we always wanted to grow up. Now we want to stop. I told somebody this week, getting older, it really is, and I know many of you can testify to this, but it's almost like a slap in the face. Because, I used an analogy. Oh, God, I can't remember what it was. It'll probably come to me. But as I was sharing this with somebody, I was at my board meeting. I remember my pastor said the same thing to me. And I'm like, oh, God, I'm right there. I'm there. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. And I'm watching a lot of the ministers that are elder ministers now pass away that in my time in the church, they were those who we looked up to. And now they're moving on. And they are leaving this world. And the next generation is filling their shoes. And I'm a part of that. And I'm like, oh God, I don't know if I want to be here. You get to that age in life where you want to slow it down. But you can't stop growth. Growth is God's plan. It is His divine will for the church. So enjoy where you are now. Younger, nicer skin, probably better looking, no wrinkles, but you're dumber. When you get older, there'll be parts of you that wish you were back there. But we're getting old. The point is, we've got to grow. If there's anything that you need to pray, it's God, don't ever let me stop growing. Get a hold of me and convict me and show me, because, well, how can I stop myself from growing? Well, the first way is pluck yourself up out of the ground. The devil was in the details of people changing churches every 3 or 4 years. The devil is in those details because he knows you cannot grow. But we've learned to take comfort in those few words, I am a Christian. How about you're a growing child of God? You've got to be planted. You cannot uproot and grow. It doesn't work. Now, I would venture to say, I'm not here yet. I may be someday. Actually, sometimes it might be a little better of a conversation. But if I were to walk out my backyard and stand in front of my tree and say, hey, I got a question for you. Do you like being here in the wintertime? I mean, he'd probably say, well, I don't really know anything else. Isn't that powerful? When you're planted, you don't think about, you know, being a palm tree in Florida because it's all you've ever known. You don't ask questions. You just grow. Just grow. But it really wouldn't be able to answer because there's nothing to compare. But the fact is, that tree has learned to grow through ugly weather and beautiful weather. That tree's learned to stay there. If it's pouring rain and a muddy muck outside, or if the sun is shining and it's perfect temperature. Growth means being a part of all types of weather in your life. Growth means you're going to go through rough times and you're going to go through wonderful times. If you're always trying to uproot yourself and move to Florida during the wintertime, you can't grow. I'm talking spiritually now and emotionally. Planted. So, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? So, I've already given you your out, and that was, don't rush yourself, just grow at God's pace. Don't feel like you should be farther along. If you should, if I'm still your pastor, I'll come and tell you what's going on. If not, just grow, man. Just grow. It's all good. It's cool. You got it, dog. Just chill. The second thing is, you can't force yourself, even if you want to. You want to be older, you want to be, you can't do it. You cannot make yourself grow. You can't make yourself grow. Growth always happens naturally. But we don't want to stunt the growth process. So, you can't demand of it and it will grow. I mean, do we have any plants here? I don't know if there's any like real plants. Probably not. I mean, have you ever walked? You got one? Well, it's not real, but we'll pretend. You know, me, and part of the, and I don't want to bore you today, but part of the my MO is I try to let people grow at their own pace. Now, sometimes it's like, come on, man, you grow a little faster than that now. You're being lazy. But I tried. Why? Because I've learned one thing. I can't walk up and say, grow faster! Grow! Come on, grow! In Jesus' name, start speaking in tongues. Grow! You can't. Now, I say that to your benefit, but not for your benefit. Because we have got to stop looking at people, criticizing them. Oh my God, Pastor Bella, they haven't grown there yet. Be patient with them. Give them time. Let them, you can't yell at them and make them grow. You can't demand of them and let them grow. It doesn't work that way. Growth must come naturally between you and the Lord. I gotta hurry. So you can't demand of it. It's not an excuse to be spiritually lazy either and let yourself go, but it is a reality that we cannot outgrow God's pace. So it also serves as a reminder that we need to be planting and watering always. The first parable that we read said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should cast seed into the ground. So that directs me to 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. It reads, 1 Corinthians 3 and 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. That's the church. Paul, Apollos, one plants, one waters. Now hear me if you would. I know you're getting tired. A little warm in here actually. Somebody's trying to cook us out. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now, you get people tell you heaven's going to be all the same. That's really not biblical. Every man receives his own reward according to his own labor. Now, we don't work our way into heaven, but God's going to remember those that worked their tail off for the kingdom and those that didn't do much. So, what this means is, let's take it out of the context of the church down. I know I'm kind of making more teaching, but just work with me for a minute. That means that it is our God-given responsibility to plant seed outside the four walls of the church. You don't wait for the outreach director to go out there and do outreach. We've all got to be planting seed at all times. One plants, one water. So I may plant, and somebody else might come along a couple weeks later and invite, you know, hey, I'd like to invite you to our church. You tell them about the Lord. You don't just, you know, hey, come to church. Hey, you know, somebody else was just here a few weeks ago. And these aren't, there's not their words, but they're mine. And they planted the seed. Now here you come watering. Do you know why you can't let the devil shut your mouth at your family gatherings? Because you got to water the seed that's been planted. If you don't water the seed will die. The seed will die. It must have water. The devil wants to tell you, well, you don't talk politics. Don't talk. Okay, well, I did learn you don't talk politics. Just leave that junk out. I mean, all you're going to do is cause a brawl in some cases, especially if you got some liberals in your family or conservatives and you're a liberal. Who knows? Whatever. I'm just saying they're like water and mud. That's the bottom. But you can talk Jesus. Actually, it's biblically commanded that we talk Jesus. We have got to water the seed. And you can pray and say, God, give me the wisdom to do this in a way that will not be confrontational. Because The devil is trying to get you to forget that the kingdom of God is like the man that cast seed into the ground. And Paul built upon that while talking to the dysfunctional Corinthian church that wasn't doing anything to reach the lost. And he said, hey, Apollos watered, I planted, but God gives the increase. You can't make growth happen. You just got to do your part in this whole thing that we call the kingdom. And that's plant and water, plant and water, plant and water, plant and water. And I know you know this, but I'm trying to remind you today. The devil knows if you keep watering one day, something's going to pop up out of the soil. And then if you continue to water, not only will something pop up out of the soil, but then it's going to become a cob, and then there's going to be corn inside of it, and then there will be a day of harvest where you bring in that which you have planted for the kingdom of God. So if I grow, I can grow other people, but I can't stop growing, and I cannot force growth, but I've got to be about my Father's business in the course of all of it. Neither he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward. So, knowing that God will bring the increase in his time, we keep planting and we keep watering and we keep planting and we keep watering and we keep hanging up flyers and we keep sending out cards and we keep making phone calls and we keep telling them we miss them because we want to water the seed that has been planted. We often get irritated at people that walk away from church, but we forget that there is seed there. And the gospel never said that everybody's going to jump on board and they're just going to fall in love with God and fall in love with the church. To the contrary, when we look at the other scripture about planting and watering, and we look at the parables of the different types of seed, we see that some will come and then the cares of this life will choke them out. And some will come and when tribulation arises, it will choke the seed out. So what we got to do, we need to weed, we need to water, we need to seed, weed and seed, water, weed, seed, water, weed, seed, water. We've got to be always about our Father's business. And if we do that, eventually God will say, okay, grow, 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 grow. Here's another one, and I'm getting to the end. This isn't so much for you, but I want you to hear it. I've seen, and I've done it myself, I've seen a lot of pastors make one big, big, big mistake in their time. And that is trying to make people grow, or trying to grow people that are never planted. You can't grow somebody that's not planted. They'll never grow. People transplant into your church and you throw them up on the platform because they got good talent. 3 days later, never last. Talked to a pastor recently, did that very same thing. Threw him up there. A couple years ago, there's somebody threw up there. I call him up, house zones, oh, he's gone. Somebody else, he comes into the church, you throw him up there because you're desperate for help. House zone, oh, they're leaving. You can't grow people that aren't planted. Now, what I want you to understand is if you have a pastor that loves you enough to make you sit and get roots before he tries to use you, you understand why. Because I can't grow you if you're not planted. I can't help you. I can't use you if you're not planted. Why do I want to throw you up here for you to sing and show off only for you to leave with a bad attitude 2 months later the way you left your last church? And then people are like, what happened to so-and-so? Where are they at? And then it affects the morale of the church. It affects the faith of people in the institution that we're building and growing for God. So sometimes as a pastor, you got all kind of talent sitting in your seats, but you're like, wait for those roots to go a little deeper first. Why? Because you hurt people. If you try to grow people, if you try to add one cubit to their stature, you'll kill them. You can't do it. So Ephesians 4 and 11, we'll read about 5 or 6 verses. Can I have another water, please? I only had a little bit left. You can have that as a gift. Something I don't do a good enough job the way I want to is I'm very intent on growing people. You come play for me, Troy? And I'll tell you why I'm so emphatic about growing people. And I'm proud of our church. I'm proud to see the growth we've had over the years. It's probably not been as fast as I liked. One of the very first things that God dealt with me about. Troy, just come this way. Come on. Let's not take that long route. I want you to just come play. They want to take the talk to Jesus route. Talk to Jesus afterwards. I just need to tell Jesus I need you to play for a couple minutes. Be about your father's. When we first started our church, and you might not understand this completely. Have you ever drive down the road and you see houses that are just like falling apart, and you drive and you're like, I don't understand how people let their homes get to that condition. I just don't. I know the spirit behind. If your house looks like that, your spirit looks like that too. I can guarantee it. Guarantee it. And so I do think that the church, I think our building should be clean. I'm thankful for those that clean. I think they should be maintained. I'm thankful for those that do so much and some work double and triple overtime, because the fact is, I don't know if it'll ever change. I mean, I've had many evangelists and pastors comment that we probably exceed the average on the amount of volunteerism that we have. But you could always use more. And so I'm thankful for all that, because I think the church should represent who we are. We care about how it looks. When you look at the book of Haggai, we understand that God was furious when Israel let the they let the house of the Lord fall into shambles. And the Lord said, you tell them, how come they're sitting in their homes with ceilings on them and roofs and pretty walls and nice paint and they're all comfortable and my house is falling apart? God wasn't happy because it represents something. So when I started, you know, I went from a somewhat established church to, you know, a brand new work. And I walk out one day for a picnic, our first picnic. And I look and I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, we're never going to look like a church. You say, what's a church look like? Well, the church at Corinth didn't look like a church to Paul. That's why he wrote the epistle and said, hey, we're not looking like a church right now. There's all kind of problems here. But in all of that, the Lord spoke to me that day and just and cautioned me not to rush growth too much. Be patient, be patient, be patient. So I'm good. But I want you growing because God has plans for you. Scripture says that very thing. I have plans for you. I didn't just make that up. He has plans. And so I've tried to always be emphatic about growth, but I had Bishop Ellis years ago before him and I were even close. Really didn't even know each other, but we were out. We just started the church maybe a year or two. And at a camp meeting, he laid his hands. He came up behind me and he prayed for me. And I could hear his prayers, and he prophesied and said that God was going to use us to bring forth strong leaders out of our church. And so I've never forgot about that. He didn't just say leaders. Anybody can be a manager, but have you ever had a bad manager? Oh, yeah. You go into McDonald's now and you see what they call their management? Yeah. Why? Because they've given up on quality because they can't get it. And it lacks in our world. But in the church, we should have well-polished men and women of God that walk the walk and talk the talk. And I'm all about looking professional, but you can't look professional if your spirit's gone to the pits either. You can't compensate. So I've always wanted to make it a concentrated effort on growth. So let's read. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors, some teachers. For the perfecting of the saints. I know you know the text. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. How long? Well, until we all come in the unity of the faith. When will that happen? Not till Jesus comes back. People got to stop twisting 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and thinking that there's no more room for tongues, because what about knowledge and what about prophecy? Where there are tongues, they shall cease. Where there's knowledge, it shall it shall, there's prophecy, it shall cease. Where there's knowledge, it shall, someone help me out here. I got it all twisted in my mouth, in my head. Pull it up, somebody. Come on, help me out. Quickly, quickly. Any of y'all even got a Bible? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I can get you before you do. Prove me wrong. Tongues, they cease. Knowledge, though. Prophecy shall fail. Knowledge shall vanish away. Got it. Told you I'd get to before you did. Let me read it real quick for you. Verse 9, chapter 13. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is imperfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. Now go back. Verse 8. Charity never faileth, but where there be prophecies, they shall fail. We live in a day of prophecy. How come everybody wants to look at that and say, see, tongues will cease? What about prophecy? What about knowledge? Listen to me. Watch. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. When Jesus returns, then those things will no longer be relevant, because He is knowledge, He is prophecy, He is the Holy Ghost. So, till we all come in the unity of the faith, that will not happen until Jesus comes, no matter how hard we try. And of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. Look at your neighbor and say, you act like a child. Because sometimes we do. That we be no more children tossed to and fro, watch, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may, say it with me, grow up into Him in all things. May grow up into Him, that we would grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. It's God's will that we grow. And that we keep growing, and that we keep growing, and that we keep growing. Now, nothing stunts growth more than division. Division will kill growth every time. Why? God can't bless. Remember, who brings increase? God. God can't bring increase when there's division and chaos. That's why Paul addressed the Corinthian church. That's why he's talking about these things to the Corinthian church, that you can't grow. And they weren't the only church he talked about this stuff to. He's trying to tell them, listen, if you want God to grow the church, I plant, Apollos waters, God gives the increase. You got to accept the process. You got to understand and respect the ministry. And you got to realize you can't make the church grow. You might be able to add some bodies to it, but you cannot make it grow. Only God can make it grow. And God does not and cannot work in division. So the number one thing we've got to always do as a church, if we're going to have growth, growth numerically, growth spiritually, is there's got to be unity of the Spirit. And then when there is, then God brings growth. Now, I've watched this. I'm done. But I've watched these patterns over the years we've been out here. And I'll tell you what happens. It just happened in Jefferson again. And this is the first time. It's the first time we have overcome the odds. For years in Jefferson, and I can go back 10 years. We would get to that place where we had about 170 in attendance. We would just bounce our heads off, and you'd have a good run for a month, and all of a sudden it'd be like, and you're back down 120, 125, 135. And I would see it coming. I could see it coming every time. When I preach, I'm not totally dumb. You might think I am, but I know what I feel in the Spirit. And so and here's what God is doing. Watch this. How many parents in here? How many of you ever, without saying anything, you put responsibility on your children to see how they would handle the responsibility? Raise your hand. Okay, you're wise people. Thank you. That's what we do. We don't say, do you think you can do this? Because they'll always think they can. So what we do is we put responsibility on them without them knowing what we're doing. We want to test them and see. So we do to our young ministers too. Let's see how you handle responsibility. Let's see how you handle the pulpit. If you can't do offering the way you're instructed to do it, you can't preach. You got to grow into maturity. And so what God does is you go through these seasons and God will say, all right, I'm going to bring a bunch of visitors in this month. And we've gone through seasons and they would flood in. And I, as sure as I am standing in front of you, it's like a light switch would flip and it stops, not a visitor. I'm thankful for that. Because God's saying, all right, I brought some increase. Let's see if you can keep it alive. Let's see if you can sustain it. You can go out and you could hand out gifts and prizes and try to manipulate people and lure them into church. That doesn't bring growth. That's nice and I'm not against it. But growth only happens when the body is right and when the spirit is right and when we're planting and watering and then God says, okay, now I can bring increase. And this last go around is the first time in all these years that we hit that, and we're having great church for 2 months, man. I mean, just, it's like God just popped the cork off of heaven. And I'm talking to the bishop one day, and I said, I'm just waiting for the storm that follows the calm. He said, what do you mean? I said, Bishop, I said, I've been through this. I know exactly how it goes. I said, there's going to be some stuff that's going to happen here. Oh, you know, don't think that way. Oh, okay. Well, sure enough, I got my guts knocked out of me a couple weeks later on more than one occasion with several things. And then the blows just kept coming and coming and coming. But I felt something different. And I told our leadership, I said, but this time, I said, we're handling it better. We're sustaining it better. God is trying to test the church. Can you handle the growth? And so God will not put on you more than what you can handle. He'll test you. Can you handle this? Can you handle responsibility? Are you willing to plant? Are you willing to water? When you do, I will bring the increase. If you want to grow, if you want the church to grow, then let God be able to trust you with what He's given you and prove to God that you can be a child of unity and that you can be a child of submission and humility and let God grow the church. Would you stand with me right now? As they sing, I want you to pray with me right now that the Lord will let us be a church of growth. Listen, don't be discouraged. It's coming. It's going to happen. God's going to continue to work. He's doing it there. He'll do it here. He'll do it over there. But God is trying to help us get the right pieces in place so it's lasting and sustainable growth. That's what we want. And we don't want to kill people in the process, but we want to grow them. Would you lift your hands to the Lord right now as they sing? Would you talk to the Lord in any way that you feel led right now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
From the inside. From the inside of me. May you delight from the inside, in the inside of me. Come fill my life from the inside, from the inside of me. Set me on fire from the inside, from the inside of me. 'Cause all I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted. Is all I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. high. Let praises rise from the inside. From the inside. May you delight in the inside, in the inside of me. Come fill my life from the inside, from the inside of me. Set me on fire from the inside of me. 'Cause all I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted. All I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. Fill my life till all they see is you, Lord. Glorify your name. Fill my heart till all they see is you, Lord. Glorify your name. Fill my life till all they see is you, Lord. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
Have Brother Kenny come and pray for us here in a second. But if you don't know me, then I want you to understand, I don't just want to pack pews with people. First of all, it's reckless to their salvation and their eternity. You don't just have children if you're not ready to take care of them. And so, we know that if we get a system in place to take care of what we have, then God can bring growth and we don't have to worry about hurting people. So that although is predicated upon all of us growing ourselves. And so when he prays, I want us to pray that the Lord will help us to understand this whole process of growth, no matter where we are right now in our walk with God. that God will help us to continue to grow. It's okay. Well, not really. But it's understandable if your two-year-old throws themselves on the floor and kicks their feet and screams. It's not understandable if your 24-year-old gets in the backseat of a police car and kicks their feet and screams. That's what happens when you don't grow. That's what I don't want to do as a church. Now, we're getting some things in place here. We've got some big changes coming up here. But I need the church to focus on your own personal growth. Whatever that might be, let me narrow it down for you. What I look for in people is when you get new people in church, you'll see sometimes they'll come and they'll do good for a while, then they'll disappear for a couple services. Then they'll come and they'll do good for a while, and they'll disappear for four services. Then they'll come. So I look for those patterns to break. I don't care if they're running the aisles. I just want to get them consistent. And then when they're consistent, now we can look for growth in other areas. So maybe your growth will be becoming more faithful. Maybe you're faithful as Jesus is on Sundays, but you don't come for Bible study on Wednesdays. Maybe that's your next step of growth. Maybe you don't teach Bible studies at all now, but God has been dealing with you about teaching a Bible study. Maybe that's your next step of growth. You've got to sort this out between you and the Lord, but there's got to be growth somewhere. So Brother Kenny's going to pray for us for growth, and he's going to pray and ask the Lord to help us, each one of us, see the needs in our own life.
Amen, church. Let's just pray right now. Let's lift our hands to a holy God who has met with us, who has given us a word today. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I pray, open our ears, Lord, to hear your voice, Lord, as you gently speak, Lord, as you tell us, Lord, and as we look at ourselves and say, God, where can I grow, Lord? Where can I allow you to move and pour me and take me, Lord, so that I can continue to grow towards you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, speak clearly, Lord, so that we can receive that nourishment in our spirit. So we can receive that direction, Lord. Help us to concentrate, put those spiritual blinders on. Not to worry, Lord, about what's going on in our world, what's going on to our neighbor, to our left and our right. But Lord, to look at ourselves and say, God, what can I do to better improve myself for you? To make myself a willing and a chosen vessel. To make myself a better vessel for you, Lord, to fill and overflow, Lord, so that I can impact my church. So I can impact my community and my family. Lord, help us, Jesus, to be willing vessels, Lord, to pray that prayer when we go home, Lord, and say, God, teach me. Help me to be teachable. Help me to be vulnerable like that clay in your hands, Lord. Help me, Lord, to be something that can grow and nourish, to be rooted deep, Lord, to say no matter what, no matter how much heartache, no matter how much frustration, no matter what the devil throws in my pathway, I am rooted here. I am submitting myself here. I am willing to place my name here and let myself grow and be nurtured in this environment, Lord. Let our minds shift, Lord, so that this world can't distract us and pull us away, but that we will say, I am fixed here and I am going to grow in the name of Jesus. Can you claim that this afternoon? Can you claim that God is going to take you and mold you in His hands today and going to help you to grow and reach heights you never thought imaginable, to reach restoration and healing never thought imaginable, to reach a wholeness in your life that you can take and show your family this is what God does when I'm willing to root myself and allow Him to grow at His pace. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Fill my life, fill all my seed in you, Lord. Glorify your name. Fill my heart, fill all my seed in you, Lord. Glorify your name. Thank you.
Thankful for the word we heard today. I pray, Lord, that we leave this place with the word, that we don't leave it here in the church, God, but we take it home with us. Continue, Lord, to grow at our own pace, God, and ask you to continue to water us, continue to grow us, God. Lord, for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor wanted me to come up here and remind you that we have revival this Thursday.